Sheila Simon is Illinois' lieutenant governor, but not for much longer. She's running for a different office next year, that of comptroller. And that means if she wins, she would oversee Illinois' checkbook. She joins us today here on Illinois Edition. Governor Simon, thanks for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you here. Thanks.
Let me ask you, why make this move from a position in which you've been able to work on a lot of different issues into something like the financial office, like comptroller?
Because of the significance of the office of comptroller and particularly how that office can help get more people engaged in where we spend money, which is really where all the action is at in terms of setting our state priorities. An important part of that office, as I see it, is oversight of local government spending. The comptroller collects reports from every local government in the state and has, I think, a great opportunity to do much more with that information than is currently being done, putting that information to work in, I think, really preventing corruption.
You're running against Republican Judy Barr Topinka, who currently holds that office. Just recently, the incumbent did release and unveil a web portal with financial data about local governments. I read where you basically said that was a little too late. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, and I compliment her for a good start on using that data, but it can do so much more. What her new website does is allow you to view side-by-side two different units of government. What I'd like to do with the data that comes in is compile it and benchmark it, get that information back to the library boards, the park districts, so they can look at it and say, we're taxing more than other park districts our size, or wow, we have more debt than other communities our size. The information, and if you benchmark it that way, can also lead to some red flags. Why is this community so far out of line with others its size? And that can help all of us, whether it's the comptroller's office, the local state's attorney, or members of that jurisdiction, either elected members or citizens, to help spot corruption and say, hey, why is it that this is going on? You know, you look at Dixon, Illinois, for example, where the city officials stole over $50 million over the course of many years. I always wonder how it is that they paved their streets in Dixon. So if information got back to folks in Dixon saying, yeah, you're taxing a lot more, and people could look around and say, how is it that we're spending all this money and getting so much less than other communities our size? Maybe someone would have been able to spot it earlier.
Could you build off of what is being done now in the comptroller's office, this web portal that was released? I mean, could you take that information and just go from that point?
Absolutely. It's all information. What I'm talking about is using the information that's coming into the comptroller's office now. It's coming in an electronic form. It's not a big challenge and not a big cost to take that information and use it rather than just put it on display. So I want to make sure that we're using that information at a time that makes sense to folks, right? If a city council is considering its budget, let's get them the information about comparable spending. I've been a city council member. Often the comparable information that we have is, well, let me call my friend over in Marion. I think the comptroller's office can help folks in local government do a much better job and make better informed decisions.
Now, you were on the Carbondale City Council. So is it safe to say, do you feel that a lot of people who do serve, and certainly the citizens of various communities out there, really have no idea if what they're doing is, you know, in line with other communities?
It's really safe to say that, yeah. And also really safe to say that very few people know about this function of the comptroller's office. So I think there's a big role to play in public education. And as a former teacher, I like that role of education.
Well, handling Illinois' checkbook, it's not an easy job, never has been. But more in the past several years, payment delays, we saw a lawsuit over lawmakers' paychecks, all sorts of problems, and yet the comptroller does not make fiscal policy. But that being said, let's take a look at, you know, what might be done to improve Illinois' finances, because that will come up in this campaign. An income tax increase from a few years ago is set to expire just over a year from now. Do you favor bringing those rates back down, or do you think the state needs that revenue and that those rates should at least stay where they are?
I think we need to have that discussion as a state. I think we're only starting to scratch the surface there. And I think the most important thing that we have to address is that we have to pay for what we want. It's a fairly basic concept. All of us know it in our own personal lives, but we have to get a grip on that as a state. And we far too often are looking for something for nothing or something and paying for it down the road. We need to make sure that that we assess what we need as a state and that we pay for it. We have seen budget cuts that are so severe that they're cutting back into things that we all value. Public schools are doing their best on less and possibly less again in the coming year. I don't think that's something that the people in the state of Illinois see as a way to build our future. So I think we have to make sure that we don't just look at the tax question by itself, but we look at it in the context of what obligations we have and what investments we want to make in our future.
And that being said, certainly there's, as you mentioned, schools, businesses, or vendors who work with the state, they're behind on payments. I mean, is there really, truly any way that the state can give up that revenue at this point unless they replace it somehow?
Yeah, and I think that's the question is how do we want to set up our tax structure? There are folks who are discussing what they call a fair tax, a progressive tax.
A graduated income tax.
Exactly.
The more money you make, the higher percentage you pay.
Right, right. So that's something to consider. So we have lots to consider on our plate. And I think actually a statewide campaign is a great place to have that discussion, to have candidates traveling all around the state discussing it, getting opinions from folks in the state about what their priorities are and how much they're willing to pay for them.
We're talking with Sheila Simon. She's Lieutenant Governor for Illinois, and she's also running for Illinois Comptroller next year. Again, you're going to face Judy Barr Topinka, the incumbent Republican for that office. And one area where you both agree, and there are probably several where you may agree, but one highly prominent area is same-sex marriage. You were both out supporting that, speaking at rallies and being very public about your support, actively lobbying. Now, I know you heard from a lot of people, I'm sure, that were opposed to it. And what did you say to them?
What I tell most folks about this issue, particularly ones who haven't yet made up their mind or felt a little uncomfortable with marriage equality, ask your kids. Because the next generation, it's a no-brainer for them. My husband and I have two girls. They're 23 and 19. I was texting them just after the bill passed in the House because I was very excited about it, excited to be there on the floor watching my friends vote. Their reaction is, you know, great woo-hoo, as they say in their text, but also, why did it take so long? So I think this is one of those things that might be a little bit uncomfortable for some folks now, but years down the road, we'll look back and say, what was the fuss about?
Another issue that I wanted to talk with you about, because you've been doing a lot of work in this area, has been education. I know you had hearings throughout the state, community colleges, universities. Give us some background for those that haven't been following that, you know, the work you've been doing and what you discovered with it.
Yeah, I'm a former teacher. I taught at the law school at Carbondale for 10 years or more. My husband is a community college teacher, so I suppose I have a strong bias in favor of public education. I decided when I became lieutenant governor that to really do my job effectively as the governor's point person on education reform, that I needed to really visit, to be there at all the state's community colleges, all the state's public four-year universities. And one of the things I learned along the way is that while these are great resources for teaching students, our public colleges and universities aren't necessarily so good at learning from each other. There's some competition built into the system and not enough taking advantage of the opportunity to say, what is the other university, a couple hours away from here, or the community college a couple hours away from here doing that I can learn from? So we pulled together a conference, a statewide conference, had the vast majority of public education institutions, higher education in the state, present in Bloomington. We had some national experts to sort of set the stage on why higher education is so important to our economic future. And then the rest of the conference was people from Illinois talking about their programs that are very successful. One was from here at UIS, a 1-2-1 program. A common community college and university experience would involve 2 years at a community college and 2 years at a four-year school. Here the program is one that involves the first year at the community college exclusively, the last year at the university exclusively, and the middle years taking a combination, getting the best of what each resource has to offer. It's greater flexibility for the student, allows them to get to the kinds of classes that really motivate them more quickly, and allows them to get that degree done quickly. That's one of the affordability problems, is that sometimes it's taking too long to get to that degree.
And people I've talked to who in higher education say one of the big problems with that is that too many students are entering college and need to take remedial classes. They're not quite ready coming out of elementary and secondary education. Are you finding that to be the case?
Absolutely. And, I used to teach writing at the law school, so I'm big on English skills. But unfortunately, despite what priority I put on English, the single biggest academic barrier to college completion is math, not being ready for college-level math. And that is a statewide phenomenon, top to bottom. And what we have done is worked with the State Board of Education on promoting a fourth year of math experience in high school. Right now, as a state, we only require 3 years of high school math. We're not requiring 4 years of high school math now, but the State Board of Ed has put together for the first time, a statewide math curriculum. It's not an unfunded mandate. It's a, here it is, you use it all or part of it, whatever works for you and your school, from middle school through high school, and it promotes getting to that level of math that you're ready for college and ready for career. There are manufacturing firms across the state that are ready to hire high school graduates if they can pass a math test, because manufacturing is more sensitive to math these days. So preparing students for that level of math is really important, and we're seeing folks around the state respond to that challenge.
Let me switch gears here just a bit in the couple of minutes we have left. As Lieutenant Governor, you would be qualified to answer this question because it comes up a lot. Should this be an office that should continue? I mean, we've seen changes to try to, make it more palatable politically to some people. Changes this year in which the people who are running for governor must select their running mate before the primary. Is it an office whose maybe the time has come to mothball it, I guess, would be the best term, and put focus elsewhere?
Yeah, I think not. And, of course, you have to understand I have a little bit of bias, right, having served as lieutenant governor. But 45 of the 50 states have a lieutenant governor. The trend has been to add one where there hasn't been a lieutenant governor before. And I particularly think it's advantageous, our new system where the governor and lieutenant governor pair up early on. Governor Quinn and I have been able to work together, I think, more effectively because he had a hand in selecting me as his running mate. It's a much better working combination than, for example, Governor Quinn and the governor that he worked with, mm-hmm. that didn't really function too well together. So I think it's important for the state. It's important to have stability and succession. It's also important to have that extra advisor out there who you can't fire.
And the last question, I'm going to go back to your father, and I could actually bring your mother into this too because she had quite a career as well and was well known. The Simon name has been, I'm sure, helpful politically, mm-hmm. for you. At the same time, do you feel that some of your accomplishments and things you do are often overlooked, that maybe you're still in the shadow of your father, to some people at least?
Oh, to some people I'm sure that's the case, but it's a pretty darn good shadow to be in. I'm not complaining. When I travel around the state, the most common thing that folks say to me about Dad is I didn't always agree with your dad, but I appreciated his honesty. And to have that as a regular reminder of what's absolutely important and absolutely required is a tremendous asset. It's also a way to start a conversation about government with an image in people's minds that is not one of corruption. that helps too. We have some hard decisions to make as a state up ahead of us. If we can do that in an atmosphere where people have a little bit more trust in elected leaders, we're going to be making better decisions.
Sheila Simon is Lieutenant Governor for the state of Illinois, and she's also running for Illinois Comptroller. And Governor Simon, appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks for having me.